Somebody say amen. Quick, hurry. Luke chapter 7, folks. We are in Luke chapter 7. Everybody awake by now? Folks awake? Everybody awake? Kind of, sort of? Well, I hope so. It's Mother's Day. Let me get a sip of my extreme sweet tea over here just a second. All right. Good to go now. Good to go. I say this every year. If you can't be with your mom today, then at the very least call her. I will call my aunt later this afternoon. And so I hope that you'll do that. On most Mother's Days, I preach a pretty similar sermon. I mean, I don't want you to think that, oh, I just pull the sermon out every week and or every year and preach the thing that I preached the year before. I don't do that. I study, I work hard. But most of my Mother's Day sermons over the years fall into two categories. Either, hey, let's cheer mom on. And mom needs to be cheered on. Let's cheer her on. Let's encourage her. Let's strengthen her. Or the other type of sermon is, go get them, mom. Go get them. Go do and be what God wants you to do and what he wants you to be in raising your children and raising your grandchildren. And I had settled on that again this year. I had. I've been thinking about the Mother's Day sermon for at least the last 2 or 3 weeks. Mother's Day is always a big day. It's a big day here at Crossroads, a big day for all of our families. And I had settled on it. God had not settled on it. And so last Monday, and really beginning through the week, the Lord put the brakes on the sermon that I thought he wanted me to preach, and he gave me this one. It is a very unusual kind of Mother's Day sermon. But I think it's absolutely necessary for so many of our moms today. The sermon is called Hope, Hope for Damaged Mothers. Hope for Damaged Mothers. There are a lot of damaged moms. A lot of damaged mothers. A lot of damaged mothers whose children are already raised. A lot of damaged mothers who are still raising children. And there are a lot of, I have discovered in my years in the ministry, there are a lot of damaged moms in the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church. I'm not just talking about Crossroads. There are a lot of damaged moms. We don't talk much about that, but there are a lot of damaged moms with a lot of broken hearts and a lot of Christian moms. And by the way, not just married mothers. There's some married moms who are damaged, but also stepmothers. Stepmothers. Or grandmothers who are raising their grandchildren, or aunts who are raising their nieces and nephews. There are single moms and divorced moms, and their mothers who have adopted as well. They've adopted children, and they're damaged too. Or any woman, as I mentioned a few moments ago, who has mothered someone. You know, there are a lot of women who never had children of their own, but they mothered somebody. They helped raise somebody, or they mothered somebody at church, and I mentioned that in my prayer. There are lots of reasons for moms to be damaged these days. I think the number one class of moms who are damaged these days, believe it or not, are stay-at-home moms. You know why? Because stay-at-home moms are just almost ridiculed by society and completely disregarded. Stay-at-home moms, the culture has told stay-at-home moms for decades, why are you staying home with your kids? You are wasting years. Don't you know you could be out there doing something and you're wasting years staying home with your children? And moms that stay home with their kids hear this and they begin to be affected by it. It's not just stay-at-home moms, they're working moms. By the way, can we just end the debate real quickly? All moms are working moms. They're all working moms. Whether a mom is able to stay home and take care of her children and she is the manager of the home, and I have preached that a zillion times over the years, or a mom works, she has a career outside the home. Every mom I've ever known is a working mom. They're all working moms. And working moms, many of whom have to work outside the home, they hear from others. Working moms hear that, well, you know what, if you were a good mom, you would do this and this and this and this. And those working moms, even those who know they have to work, they live with the guilt every day. And so many people pointing fingers at them. It's also mothers, listen, it's mothers whose children hurt them every day. I know some of you are thinking, isn't that par for the course, being a mom? Kids hurt you? I'm not talking about the everyday. I'm not talking about everyday hurts. I'm not talking about the everyday frustrations. There are children who seem to take pleasure in being non-appreciative to their mothers. You remember how when your kids were small, every little thing that somebody did for them, including their parents, what would you tell them? What do you say? Thank you. Thank you. Hey, your mom did this for you when they were little. Thank you, mommy. And they would come and give mom a hug. I don't know what happens as we get older with kids in particular and teenagers, but it's like the idea of even thanking mom as we get older for the great meal. Mom, thanks for taking care of my clothes. Mom, thank you for cleaning the house. And by the way, it's not just from kids. It's from husbands too. But children who are non-appreciative, disrespectful, and even hateful to their moms. You mean there are kids like that? There are a lot of kids like that. And not just in today's world. They were like that when I was a kid. But there are many like that today. Even though mom is trying to do the best she can do. In many cases. Here's a reminder to you young people who have I've already lost in the sermon. And you're already thinking, oh, here we go, another old guy telling me what I'm blah, 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 blah. Here's a reminder for you. One day you're going to be parents. And the Bible tells us we reap what we sow. You ever heard the old saying, I'm paying for my raisin? If you treat mom with disrespect, don't be surprised when it's your turn years from now, and you're married, and you're a mom, don't be surprised when you raise a child, and all of a sudden, one day, this kid's looking you in the face and saying, I don't have to listen to you, blah, 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 and then you're going to remember, wow, this is how I treated my mother. God doesn't fool around with stuff like this, and God has a way of bringing it back to us. Sometimes mothers are damaged, listen, because of their own bad decisions, or their own sins, their own mistakes, their own attitudes, past or present. Other mothers are damaged because they've had a miscarriage or two or three, and they have nothing to hold, nothing to even say goodbye to, no funeral. There's nothing worse than burying one of your children except for not even having that. And sometimes we overlook that. We just think, well, women just get used to that. Women are just supposed to just live with that. And there are moms that are damaged for that. Yet other moms are damaged because they have a poor relationship with their husband. Or they had a poor relationship with their mother. Or their mother-in-law, if they have one at all. Or they're depressed. A lot of moms deal with depression these days, not just postpartum depression. A lot of moms have those. Many mothers have that, but a lot of moms just are depressed. There are lots of reasons, as I said, and that's just a few of them. There are lots of reasons why moms are depressed. Here's the good news before I even get to the scripture. Jesus loves you, mom. He loves mothers. Jesus loves moms, and not only does he have the answer to your damaged heart, listen to me, he is the answer. Christ is the answer for anybody's damaged heart, but particularly a mother. You know how I know that? Because he had a mom. Jesus had a mom. Until his last breath, he loved her and he cared for her and he had compassion for her. There's a very special story in Luke chapter 7. I was telling some folks just before the message, I don't ever remember, and I've been preaching a long time, reading this. I don't ever remember preaching on this. And I'm ashamed that I haven't. But let's jump into this. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. Write this down, though, first. Jesus has compassion for broken mothers. Very simple outline today. Jesus has compassion for broken mothers. Look with me in verse 11. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, "Do not weep." It's a powerful story here. Luke, by the way, is the only one that includes this story. You won't find it in any of the other gospels, only Luke. Luke, by the way, is my favorite gospel. Most people love John. I love Luke. One of these days, I'm going to preach a series on Luke. It may take us 2 or 3 years to get through Luke, but I'm going to do that one of these days. Jesus is still early in his ministry here, and he comes into this town. This town, by the way, was not far, only about 8 or so miles from Nazareth, his hometown. And by the way, unlike a lot of Bible towns, this town still exists. They don't call it Nain anymore. The town has been known as Little Hermon for centuries. It's still there. It's still there, where Jesus performed this miracle. And as I read to you, as he nears the town with his disciples and a crowd following him because he was already famous and people wanting to see what he was going to do next and also people wanting to know if he was going to do something for them, he comes into town and he encounters this funeral procession. And it's like funeral processions these days. I've never been in a happy funeral procession. You know what, even, and you know this because you've lost loved ones, even what I call the best of funerals, where you have a loved one, an elderly person who lived for Jesus, loved Jesus, and their life proved it, what I call an easy funeral, even those are not easy funerals. Funerals are sad occasions. They are. You realize I'll never see this person. I'll never talk to them in this life again. I'll never hear her laugh. I'll never see him smile. I'll never do that. Those are sad occasions. And Jesus comes into this scene here, and there are many people. Look at this, a considerable crowd, people crying. It reminds me of the scene in John 11. It reminds me of Jesus coming back to Bethany. Remember, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus comes into town. He is deliberately waited, and he comes into town, and Mary and Martha both confront him, and Jesus looks around at the mourners, and he sees Mary and Martha, who he'd adopted as sisters, and all of that, and that leads John to write in 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. So Jesus knew all about funerals, and he encounters this funeral, and he encounters this mother. Luke tells us she's a widow. This is her only son. As they head to the cemetery here. Jesus didn't weep here, unlike John 11. But he had great compassion on this poor grief-stricken mother. He even told her not to weep. Does that seem strange to you? I mean, this woman is crying. Of course, she doesn't know Jesus is about to raise her son. But he says, don't weep. A personal note for you here. There are few things worse than a mother crying, and I mean crying in grief. My mother, as I've told you many times over the years, was a very emotional woman. My sister was a great deal like my mother. My mother could cry, and my mom dealt with a damaged heart and depression and all those things. We didn't know what those were decades ago. But I can remember there were times in my life growing up that my mother would cry. And sometimes she would cry, she would think about the son who was stillborn, my older brother, had never met. And back in those days, you know, when a woman delivered a child, she was in the hospital for a week or two. She wasn't even there for my brother's funeral. And I remember as a boy, sometimes she would just cry, and I would say, Mom, please don't cry. What are you crying about? And she would say, I'm just thinking of Joey. Joey. And then I would go, please, Mom, please. Because, you know, when you're a kid, particularly if you're a son, the worst thing is when your mom cries. It's the worst thing, particularly if they're in distress. And that wasn't the only time she cried. My mom, as I said, was emotional. And there were many times as a young man, I would tell her, even up through my teen years, I would come home from school and she'd been crying all day, Mom. And I would do anything to change. I would try to change her mood, do anything, tell her about what happened at school, tell her a joke, anything to lift her spirits. It's always upsetting watching your mom cry. To our damaged mothers here today, I want you to know that Jesus has compassion for you and he cares for you. He cares for you. You may feel as if nobody else in the world cares for you, but I tell you, Jesus cares for you. To our mothers who have a broken heart or a broken spirit, He cares for you. It reminds me of what the scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 4. We don't have a high priest. Listen, we don't have a high priest who hasn't experienced what we've gone through. No, we have a Savior. Listen, we have a Savior, listen, who understands us and understands when we're broken and understands when things aren't going well in our life, understands it even for years. Moms, listen, today, whatever you're going through, he loves you and he has compassion for you. And that's so important to remember. Secondly, Jesus not only knows why a mother is damaged, he'll confront the reason. He not only knows why a mom is damaged, he'll confront the reason. Look with me in verse 14. Then he came up and he touched the bier, the thing holding the coffin. And the bearer stood still and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." I always love how the writers put things in here, because there's no exclamation point here after "arise." If that had been me and you, we would have said, "Arise." But Jesus just said, "Let's go. Come on. Wake up. Sit up. Sit up out of your coffin." Statement of fact. Jesus just gives the command. Remember, we've learned here already, Luke tells us that this is her only child, a son. And not just that, she's a widow. Why does Luke tell us that? Well, at some point I'm going to preach a sermon just on widows, because there are so many references to widows in the New Testament. And you know where most of them come from? Jesus. Jesus had great compassion for widows and great compassion for mothers. Why does Luke go out of his way to tell us some details about this mother? Well, because as you well know, 2,000 years ago during Bible days, widows had next to no rights. Just nothing. The husband's estate was passed to the oldest son. And he was gone. There's nothing. There's nothing here. So whatever dad left for the family was inherited by the son. It was the son's responsibility to take care of mom. And he's gone. Mom has, as hard as it is for us to comprehend, she has no legal basis to the estate. So for the rest of her life, unless she remarries or she has a kinsman redeemer, going back to Ruth, she is going to be at the mercy now, literally at the mercy of any relatives that will take mercy on her, but mostly the community, strangers. Folks who will help this woman get through. Now you know why Jesus spoke so often of widows and how they receive such shabby treatment from the culture as a whole. She's not just damaged emotionally. She is burying and saying goodbye to her only child, her son. She is damaged financially. Now let that sink in. She has nothing. Maybe the place where she lives, if it's debt-free. That's it. Jesus not only approaches her, he does something very unusual here. I don't know how Jesus talked to her without touching her. Now listen, some of us are more touchy-feely than others. I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. It's just who I am. It's how I was raised. That's the kind of church I was raised in. So if I know you, please don't be shocked at some point if I pat you on the back. Or if I'm talking to you, to brothers, to men, I may put my hand on your shoulder and I may say something. I may say, I'm really proud of you, or I'm praying for you, or something like that. It's just, some of us aren't comfortable with that. Some of us aren't touchy-feely people, and that's fine. Some of us are huggers. I'm a hugger, but I'm not a hugger to a degree. I don't run right up and just slobber on people because I don't know people. I'll run up and slobber on people once I get to know you. I'm just joking. I'm not going to do. All of our guests are saying, "No, we're not coming back to this church, pastors." I can't imagine Jesus talking to this woman and not at least putting his hand on her shoulder. or maybe even coming up to her like a son would and putting his arm just around her shoulder, side to side like this, and whispering to her. That's just me. That's my speculation. But I can't see the Son of God not having some kind of physical contact, some kind of physical support for this woman now who has lost everything. But not just that. Luke tells us he did something that good, devout Jews never did, and that was touch something that was touching something that was dead. The best translation here in the ESV, I think, fails us here. The best translation, and what's in a lot of versions these days, is he touched the coffin. He touched the coffin. Which meant, at that point, he was in violation. He was in violation of the law. Good Jews didn't touch anything that was dead, and they didn't touch anything that was touching the dead. That was part of it. Don't do that. But he did. It didn't bother him at all. Can you imagine when he touched the coffin? Can you imagine? I can. And the people in the crowd, I think some of them just went, "Did you see? He touched the coffin. Who does this guy think he is? Who does he think he is?" That didn't bother Jesus at all. We know in the scriptures that Jesus raised at least three people from the dead. This is one of them. I have a belief, it's a personal belief, and it's a biblical belief, I believe, that he raised more from the dead. John tells us at the end of his gospel that Jesus did far more than even the gospels could hold. That even the books of the Bible could not hold all the things that Jesus did. And later on, Luke alludes to the idea, to the fact that Jesus raised more people from the dead. Jesus was never scared of death. How could the Son of God be scared of death? Jesus conquered death. Some people say he didn't conquer death till he came back from the grave. And I get that. I understand. It's a solid theological argument. My argument is he conquered death here. He raised somebody from the dead. By the way, a word of caution and advice to all of us here, for those who are constantly running about trumpeting how they saw this person raised from the dead, this supposed faith healer raised this guy from the dead, this person was dead, this person was dead. I got news for you. None of that's documented. Nobody has ever raised anybody from the dead except for Jesus Christ. God used Elijah on a couple occasions and Elisha on a couple occasions in the Old Testament. But Jesus Christ masters death. And he addresses this dead young man and he tells him, sit up and rise. Sit up and rise. What did he tell Lazarus? Come forth. Come forth. And he tells this guy to sit up and rise. Damaged moms, listen. The Lord loves you so much, he will confront the reason why your heart is damaged. And in doing so, he will help you confront it as well. Because you're never going to get over your brokenness or your damage until you confront it too. And you begin to ask God to show you what you need to do to get over it. Whether the damage was done decades ago or whether it's something fresh. The Lord doesn't fool around. You want God to help you with certain things. You want God, we all pray to him, oh Lord, I'm going through this. Oh God, please get me through this. And the Lord's up there saying, I'm trying. But part of it is, you're going to have to deal with it. And God is there to help us deal with it. And not just that, help us to overcome it and have victory. Instead of going through our lives depressed and disillusioned and disheartened and broken, that is not God's plan. It's not just not God's plan for mothers. It's not God's plan for any of us to go through life like that. And that brings me to the third and final point. Very basic. Jesus will heal a broken mother his way. In verse 15, Luke wrote, and the dead man sat up, and he began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Wow. We can only imagine the scene. The dead young man sits up in his coffin. I've done a lot of funerals. I've never had anybody sit up in their casket. Have you? Never. Believe me, if that had ever happened, that would change me forever. And everybody else. Those people that were there that day, they never forgot it. The mom did. What do you think his first words were, by the way? I'm just curious. I've been thinking about this all week. What do you think this dead young man, and by the way, most scholars believe he's somewhere between his late teens and about 30. Prime life, prime years, to support his mom. And mom has no hope now. What do you think his first words were when he set up? He looks around. I'm thinking he might have said, "Hey, where are you guys taking me?" I'm thinking that. Maybe he said this. He saw his mom crying. Maybe he said, "Mom, what's going on?" Isn't that the first thing we do when we see our moms? "Mom, what's happening?" Maybe he looked around. Maybe he said, "His mom, I'm hungry. Can we go home and cook something?" Or maybe he looked at the crowd. Maybe he looked at the mourners. Maybe he looked at the funeral guys who were in charge. And maybe he said to them, "I ain't paying for this. We're not going through this anymore." I don't know what his first words were. Luke doesn't tell us. But the bottom line is this. That day, then and there, Jesus healed that broken mother's heart. It's as clear as the words here in the scripture. Her brokenness, her grief, her hopelessness, all ended because of Jesus. Jesus turned her ashes into joy, and her mourning and her crying into dancing. Like that. Jesus is still doing that for damaged moms. He's still healing. He's in the business of that, ladies. He longs to heal the brokenness. But now look, he's going to do it his way and his time. We come to Jesus and we say, "Look, you got to fix all the problems that have been amassing in my life for the last 50 years today." And Jesus is saying, "It took you 50 years to get there. It's going to take some time." And it is. You remember what he told his mother from the cross? Remember, he's the oldest son, so he's responsible for his mom. And he sees his mother. He didn't come off the cross. He didn't come off the cross and say, "Hey, mom, I don't know what I was thinking. My first obligation is to you. And so, you know, I'll do this later after you're gone. I'm going to take care of you. I'm the oldest son." He didn't do that, did he? He had to die for the sins of the world. That's why he came. But there hanging on the cross, he looked at his mother and he said, "Mom, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten my obligation. John, that's your mom now. Mom, that's your son now." Do you see how Jesus works his way? We tell Jesus, "You got to fix this, and you got to fix it my way, Lord, and you got to fix my broken heart the way." That's not how Jesus works. Jesus will come in and he will do it, but he'll do it his way. Don't order Jesus around. That's for moms, dads, that's for all of us. Don't order Jesus around. Don't say, "Look, you got to fix everything here." Jesus is well aware of your hurts, and I've already told you he cares for you. To those of you mothers who are damaged, and some of you even dread Mother's Day because of something that happened in the past or something even that's happening in the present, he longs to heal you. And he longs to heal you his way. Maybe not the way you want, but he wants to heal your damaged heart. And it can begin today. Mom, it starts, as the musicians come up, it starts with, it starts with you coming clean with the Lord. Well, Pastor, this doesn't sound like a Mother's Day sermon at all. You're right. It's not Doug's usual Mother's Day sermon. It's what the Lord wanted me to preach, though. It starts with you coming clean with the Lord. It starts with you owning not just your hurts, but the reasons for the hurts, and owning your role in it. You may need to confess. You may need to get your kids together and say, Mom's been too hard. You may need to come to terms with something that happened a long time ago. I don't know. You may need to give forgiveness and grant forgiveness to somebody who hurt you a long time ago for you to get on with your life and for the Lord to begin to heal you. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I know this. I know this. Husbands and kids, we have a role in this. So to our young people here today, instead of always arguing with Mom and giving her a hard time, why don't you go to her one time and say, you know what, Mom, I apologize for these times that I've been impudent and disrespectful and not listening and always arguing with you. I apologize for that. Would you teach me something? Teach me something. It may be how to make biscuits. It may be how to do something in the garden. I don't know. Mom, I just want to spend some time with you. She'll probably pass out, and then she'll wake up when you tell her that. Why don't you try that, kids? Why don't your husbands? And I'm talking to myself, too. Let's try to be more understanding. And here's the good news. All of this can start today on Mother's Day. It doesn't have to wait till tomorrow. It doesn't have to wait till the next argument. It doesn't have to wait till the next blow up at home. It can start today. It can start today, for goodness sakes. God can begin to heal Mom today. Today. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to pray a special prayer for our moms. And moms, if you're broken today, I want you to know you're in the right place and God wants to heal you, and I've already preached all that. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you after the service, or if you need to come and leave a burden here today, you can do it. Father, thank you for our mothers. I've already prayed a similar prayer, but now, Lord, I pray for those who are hurting today. I pray for those who are haunted from things past. Maybe a poor relationship with their mother, or maybe a poor relationship with a mother-in-law. Maybe grown children who have broken their hearts. Maybe a husband who doesn't ever seem to try to even understand. Help us as husbands and children to not just love our moms one day out of the year, bring them flowers and breakfast in bed and all those. Help us day in and day out to tell our moms how much we love them and how much we appreciate them and respect them, because she's not going to be here forever, and there's nothing worse than living with regret of things I should have said or things I should have done while I had my mom with me. I pray that you'd lift up our mothers in a culture that does not value them. I pray, dear God, that you would encourage our moms to raise their kids right according to the word. I pray that you would help our moms stand against this culture, which is destroying so many kids, and to help their kids again choose Christ, choose the right way. Lord, if there's a broken mom here today, if there's a damaged mom, I pray that they've heard what I've said and what you led me to say. Bless them. Keep them. Keep our moms healthy. Give us more years with them. and help our moms, as I said, to do whatever it is, to confront whatever it is as you're confronting it with them. Whatever they need to do. We love them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, please.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the
Yeah.